It's Molly and Craig on Power FM, and joining us this morning on the show, Mackenzie Wakefield from Maurice Blackburn Lawyers.
Good morning.
We've got you on the show, Mackenzie, because you're a lawyer, like Craig said, and your firm have joined some of Australia's biggest unions to campaign for women to gain additional menstrual and menopause leave. How did all this come about?
It came about because my colleagues and I have been consistently hearing from unions how women are being disadvantaged in the workplace simply because of how their reproductive organs function. Mm. Especially coming out of COVID, there's been such a focus on personal leave balances. We know that women still tend to bear the brunt of family responsibilities in the workplace. And so hearing that women are further having to deplete their personal leave balances because of painful periods and menopause really seems like something that my colleague and I, with our union colleagues, could really sort of start to change.
Yeah, right. So the aim of this is to implement at least 12 extra days of leave a year, so about one per month. Why is it that sort of number of days that's helpful?
Look, that's just an ideal amount. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we are surveying union members to actually find out what it is that they would like in the workplace. For a lot of women, they might not need any time off work at all. Perhaps they don't have painful periods or aren't experiencing menopause. For other women, it might be more than one day a month. For others, it might just be working from home, so they have access to a heat pack or, mm-hmm. you know, can take a rest if they need to. But generally speaking, at least one day a month, we would be saying, is probably the minimum so that the people with painful periods can actually take the time that they need to rest.
And there are so many times too, as women, that we just soldier on. Mm. And I know this would be the case for a lot of women. And of course, there are so many different degrees of workplace responsibilities. You know, if you do have the privilege of sitting at a desk, it can be manageable. But for women that are doing, you know, hardcore lifting or whatever it might be, how do you get yourself to work? It's a great question.
Exactly. And it's you really touched on an important point, Molly, which is that this can be really a real health and safety issue. If someone's operating heavy machinery, for example, I don't want that person doing that if they're trying to push through debilitating pain or they've got a migraine from menopause or confusion. So it can be a real safety issue.
I think the other thing to remember as well about what we experience as women is that it's not something that's locked in. Like, it's not as if you turn whatever age, you have your first period and you're always going to have this symptom. It's something that really changes over the course of your life. Well, I've found this to be the case anyway. Would there be space for there to be flexibility with this within the campaign, or is it one of those things where people would put their hand up, hey, I experienced this, like, I would like access to this leave?
It should absolutely be flexible for exactly the reasons that you've said, Molly. And really, the one day each month of the year is just one part of our campaign.
Okay.
We really want to be looking at making sure women have the flexibility in the workplace that they need. So, for example, private sector employees in Australia, the bare minimum for flexible work arrangements, to request it, you have to have a diagnosed injury or illness. And painful periods really doesn't even meet that. So another element of this campaign is probably just going to be to make sure that women can actually request flexible work if they need to. So they do have the flexibility to make their work work around what they're going through.
What's the process of getting this idea across the line in legislation?
So the easiest way to go about it would just be, and I say easy, but it's definitely going to be a bit of an uphill battle, but just to get some amendments to the Fair Work Act. So the Fair Work Act covers most private sector employees in Australia and some public sector employees. It already provides 10 days personal leave as a minimum for everyone. Mm-hmm. So just getting another category of personal leave added in the Fair Work Act is going to be the easiest way to affect change.
I don't know if this is going to be a dumb question, but if this all gets passed, does that mean that all workplaces will have to honour this?
Yeah, every workplace whose employees are covered by the Fair Work Act, that would include all of them.
It all sounds really good on paper, but we were having a little discussion around the office and someone did bring up the fact that, are you worried at all that if the legislation is approved and it goes forward, that it might deter some businesses from employing women in the future?
I don't think it will. And the reason is, these amendments aren't going to be giving women period pain, right? Yeah. We're not going to be giving women menopause or painful periods. These women are already going through these symptoms. Mm-hmm. And it's not every woman, right? Like, we know that it's less than 50% experience debilitating symptoms. Those women are already pushing through staying at work, or they're taking time off. Sometimes that's unpaid. Mm-hmm. So there's already going to be an impact on businesses. Businesses are generally already still feeling that, mm-hmm. whether that's a loss in productivity for those women or you know, losing them for a day. But it's really not going to have that much more of an impact. The only impact will be that women will get paid for that time.
I'm thinking as well right now about the huge number of women that have endometriosis. And we know that Crystal Daly, who previously hosted this very show, from my understanding, had copious amounts of time off to be able to deal with that. It sounded absolutely awful. And, you know, 10 days of leave doesn't even cover the actual recovery time for one endometriosis surgery.
Yeah.
That's right. And when you take into account the fact that women are, you know, still more likely to take time off work to deal with a sick kid or to go back part-time, you really have women in such a worse-off position, especially when they have a condition like endometriosis or PMDD or PCOS, which we know so many women suffer from in silence. I can't tell you the amount of people I've spoken to who are pretty sure they have endometriosis, but they haven't gone through the surgery to confirm it. So you just have to grin and bear it because they don't have a diagnosed condition. So it's really hard for those people. And this is just about taking women's health in the workplace seriously.
So if someone's hearing this morning and they're thinking, gee, I'd like to be able to help out in some way, is there any way, or at this point, is it just up to you and your colleagues?
Look, we'd love the support if you can, you know, share your opinions online. We're in the really early stages of this campaign, and it'll really be guided by the wants and needs of working women. So if you think this is something that you'd benefit from, jump on Twitter, let everyone know. But otherwise, a big part of this campaign is just normalising periods and menopause in the workplace. We really just want to get the conversation started.
And that's a good thing to take away from this as well, is that it is a conversation that needs to be had. And gosh, Mackenzie, you're a wealth of knowledge. We really appreciate you coming onto the show this morning.
Been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.